from the book of Proverbs. The title of the PM lesson is Godly Wisdom. It'll be Proverbs 1. Verse 28 through 33. I guess the reader first have to find it, right? Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Amen.
Second Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see. When we listen to that song, When Morning Comes, it's a song that kind of makes your heart leap with joy and your hands get to moving and your feet get to moving, because you know full well that by and by, in the long time, and by and by might be sooner than what you think. And I think, as I listen to that song, to myself, what if it was the fact that we were in heaven right now and heaven looked just like this auditorium right here? Would you be happy with that? There are so many people that are not here, and there's a whole lot more people that won't be in heaven either. Not simply for the fact of any Sunday night or Wednesday night service or anything like that. That's not the reason. The reason is going to be because they never understood the by and by. They never anticipated the morning coming. When all the saints of God are going to be gathered home, and boy, we're going to just be in his presence. It would disappoint me if it looked like this. Amen. I'm just saying. You know, everybody wants to have the good life. And we prepare and we plan and we scheme and we want to have the good life. You know, the book of Proverbs and the book of chapter 1 and verse number 8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions and don't reject your mother's teaching." The setting of Proverbs is a father teaching his son how to have a good life right now. He's teaching him, not giving him. See, that's a big difference. You see, we want to give our kids the good life right now. We find that this father is teaching his son how to have a good life. And I can imagine Solomon's son acting just how each of us act when our parents try to impart wisdom to us. You know, we think we knew everything we needed to know. And we believe our parents didn't understand what we're going through. Isn't that right? Or that the times have changed, Mom and Dad. You just don't understand. Or our parents are just too old to even know, as if we've never been there before. But I want to tell you that's not just a childish problem. It's a lifelong problem that we have in our lives. We do not want to listen to the wise experiences of older people. We just don't want that. Some, but not all, of the elderly, they have knowledge and experience. Not all older people have wisdom. So you got Got to be able to discern that too. They don't have it all, some of them, to share. But regardless of our own age, whether they have it or don't have it, we choose not to listen. And we see that, the results of that in our own lives, because we sometimes don't want to listen to anybody at all but ourselves. But the book of Proverbs is God as a father designed to sit down with us. He comes to sit down with us, his children, to teach us how to have a good life. Listen, he wants to teach us, not give us that. Teach us how to have it. Give a man a fish. Amen. Teach a man to fish. That's two different things. God comes to sit down with us that he might teach us how to have a good life right now. But just as typical children do, we don't want to listen to the wise teachings of a God that we serve, and a God that we love, a God that we say we are a part of. Our desire is only sometimes just to hear spiritual applications. Just give me what I want to hear. But we don't have any life-changing applications. We need to have those. We want to hear about forgiveness and of sins and the grace of God, but we don't want to hear about how God declared many of our paths in our lives as unwise. Tell me something good. Tell me the way to go. But God says, I'm not going to tell you the way to go. I'm going to show you the way to go. I'm going to take you by the hand and lead you in the path of righteousness. Some people go and they don't show. And some people are visible, but their visibility means absolutely nothing at all to the person that they're visible to. I'm so glad that we serve an unseen God. And he becomes visible through his word and allows me to see him through his darling son, Jesus Christ, who is God with us. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Listen to what God says here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, in their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, those that are not wise, despise wise things and instruction. You see, these first seven verses record Solomon's purpose for declaring these proverbs. But he's not merely stating the reasons for offering these proverbs. He seems to be convincing his son to the advantages of having godly wisdom. He's just not talking loud and saying nothing. He's convincing his son concerning the advantages of godly wisdom. And in order to convince our son of that, we have to be convinced of that ourselves, that godly wisdom is what gives us the ability to live our lives. Godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. There are a couple of areas of biblical wisdom that excel above all the wisdom that the world has to offer. Maybe four areas that I've written down that biblical wisdom excels over even our own decisions in our lives that we make without consulting God. The first one that I wrote down, how biblical wisdom excels over the wisdom of the world, is that God's wisdom is practical. It's practical. You know, every time I read the book of Proverbs, sometimes my wife says, what are you laughing at? Sometimes the book of Proverbs is so practical, it's funny to me sometimes, and I'm just laughing down when I'm reading the scripture. And I think that it's intended that way because God made us to be a people that have laughter in our lives. It gives me joy. But you know what's even more funny to me to read? What's even more fun than me to read is a worldly author who offers us wisdom. Some people, they come up with some good useful nuggets of wisdom, and some people, they simply state nonsense. That's all it is, and we know it's nonsense, and we're trying to find the answer in a bunch of nonsense. A lot of people think they have wisdom, but wisdom that they have is impractical and not useful in daily life at all. Here's an example I'm going to give you. Confucius. Everybody's heard about him, right? But he's not God. But here's what he had to say. He says, and remember, no matter where you go, there you are. What do you get out of that? Amen? He also said, never give a sword to a man who can't dance. One characteristic of biblical wisdom to me is that it's very practical to our daily lives. And while men try to speak wisely, not giving a sword to a man who can't dance has absolutely no value to my life whatsoever. I don't want a sword, and I can't dance. It doesn't do me any good at all. But the Proverbs are different. And this is what Solomon is teaching us. For acquiring a disciplined life and a prudent life means that biblical wisdom is going to help us have a better life right now. Not dancing, not carrying swords, not being there because we're there. Not listening to a tree falling in the woods, and if you don't hear it, does it really? Come on, huh? We're talking about serving a God who is the Ancient of Days. He's been there, and he wants to take us there. The Proverbs are different. And this is what Solomon is teaching us. For acquiring a disciplined and a prudent life means that biblical wisdom is going to help us to have a better life right now. Who doesn't want to have a better life? Who doesn't? We read scores and scores of books and magazines and authors trying to find a better life, trying to find ourselves, trying to find a better way to have finances, trying to find a better way to get success. But the practical nature of Proverbs is what gives us our life. It extends to all ages and levels of maturity. It says, and it teaches shrewdness to the simple. Shrewdness to the simple. The Proverbs tell me that even inexperienced people and those who lack knowledge can read it and have a better life. Can have a better life. I want you to understand one thing, though. We're not talking about the Proverbs making us intellectually smarter. But we're talking about making you smarter in common sense, in common and daily life, and all those things that you go through minute by minute, moment by moment. We're talking about being a smarter person in that particular realm. The Proverbs gives us prudence, as the translation in verse number 4 says. The Proverbs will also help those who are younger in age. It says it's give knowledge and discretion to the young. That's got to be me. I got to go get something because I'm young. Amen. I mean, Methuselah lived 969 years old. I'm a young man. Amen. And what is age? What is age except when we look into the face of age and understand that age teaches us wisdom? But some people say that age gives us wisdom. It doesn't necessarily give us wisdom because there are some people that are old who are fools. We've got to learn wisdom as we age, as we mature. We can pass it on and be prudent people, knowledgeable and full of discretion. Solomon is not speaking about book knowledge right here. Rather, discretion ought to be taught to the young so they have the ability to make proper decisions in this life. Simple decisions that have become hard in their lives. Am I male or female, for Pete's sake? Simple decisions, that's not anything you have to make. You don't make a decision to breathe, do you? Amen. And God gave you that too. We're going to have people picking in a few minutes. Oh, you know what? I have the right not to breathe. Sure you do. And you can't say anything to me about it. That's my right not to breathe. Okay. All right. We're talking about simple and prudent. We're talking about wisdom from God. Listen, I know as parents, and I've done the same thing, and maybe you have too. We spend years trying to teach our children discretion so that they can make good common sense decisions. But most of the time, we left out the godly wisdom. We says, listen, let me teach you what I've been through growing up, what my parents have taught me growing up, what their parents have taught, and we left out, amen? For the most part, that's what we did. We left out the godly wisdom. We can teach them the way of the world is what we want to teach them. And only on Sundays and Wednesday nights do we teach them the wisdom of God. We want to teach them discretion. We want to teach them common sense. But for the most part, when we teach them, we just leave out God. Are we not guilty of that? We're guilty of that. We need to make good common sense decisions. It's critical. It's a critical component of discretion. Even the experienced and the wise will gain more from a study of the Proverbs. Who's too old to learn from God? Who in here? Who out in the world is too old to ever learn something from God and His Word? Even those, the elderly, the wise, and those that are knowledgeable already can live a better life by applying godly wisdom from the book of Proverbs in their lives. I'm telling you, go read it. You're going to find yourself seeing some things that are real practical. And they really fill you with joy. And you just want to just laugh because you know full well that it applies to you and it's so simple. Why haven't I thought about that? I said time to time. It's right there. It's right there. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let those that are going to be discerners get guidance. What God is telling us is that these teachings are practical to daily living for all ages. And we need to listen. We need to listen. Never give a man a sword if he's going to dance. It's real practical for me. I don't even know what that means. Amen. But I know when the proverb says, a fool says in his heart that there's no God, I know what that means. That's practical to me. Because I know full well that, first of all, God is. And know second of all that there's enough fools out there in the world that I don't want to be one. I believe in God. And that's a wise decision that every man ought to make. Every man. Here's the second thing. The wisdom of God is enlightening. It's not such that you read it and think it's a waste of time. Whoever reads the Bible and thinks it's a waste of time, I tell you, sometimes I can't stop reading it. The words of God enlightens our minds, and we see Solomon telling his son this very thing in verse number 2. The purpose of these proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline and to help them understand wise sayings. He's not just talking just to talk. These words will help us find wisdom, insight, and understanding. And we should want these things for ourselves. Not that we're going to be smarter than anybody else or richer than anybody else or have more than anybody else, but we're going to have the wisdom that comes from God. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And we're going to desire that. We'll desire that wisdom, that insight, and understanding for our daily lives and for our spiritual lives as well. It's just good common sense. What it is. But a lot of people read the Bible and they leave out the common sense. God has made it simple, hasn't He? Simple. But all will not hear. Those who have ears, let them hear. Isn't that incredible? And that's just as simple as can be. That's nothing that you have to see a big light come on. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Isn't that wise? It's incredible. Simple. We ought to want that. The book of Proverbs gives us the keys to wisdom and opens up the doors to our understanding. Here's the third thing I wrote down. God's wisdom is moral. It's moral. Much of the wisdom that the world teaches is to, you better strike them before they strike you. Amen. And growing up in Gramercy, you know what they taught me? My uncles used to teach me. If they hit you, isn't that crazy?
You better hit them back. Well, what if they hit you and knock you out? You can't hit them back. What if they hit you and kill you? You can't hit them back, right?
The practical side of all that is that what we taught our kids is don't fight. Because if you fight, the people that fight are going to come looking for you because all they want to do is, amen, it's fight. They say, what do you mean? So we took him and we showed him an old cowboy movie where this man came into town and he was a gunslinger. And he stayed in his hotel room and looked like every day on the movie somebody was coming in town looking for him. Why? Because they wanted to fight. He was a fighter. He was a fighter, man. Listen, that's the wisdom of the world. You got to strike them down before they strike you, but godly wisdom is different. Because what God invites us to do is to have wise behavior, to be wise in righteousness and justice and equity to all men, even ourselves. What the Proverbs don't teach us is to live more selfishly than we already are. It helps us to kind of walk away from selfish behavior and practices. It doesn't teach us to be more selfish. Take it all in. You can have it all. Money cometh. All this foolishness the world teaches is not what God teaches. Rather, we learn how to live a daily life, simple and practical, full of righteousness. A daily life, simple and practical, full of justice. A daily life, simple and practical, full of things that are fair. Even when people are not fair to us, we live fairly. Even when people are not just to us, we give them justice. Even when people are not righteous to us, we give them righteousness. Worldly wisdom doesn't contain ways to be righteous and unselfish. It doesn't just contain that. Rather, worldly wisdom is about being selfish and doing things that are in your best interest. That's what worldly wisdom wants you to do. So what biblical wisdom is going to do, what godly wisdom is going to do, is to show us how to act righteously and positively for the benefit of ourselves and others. God's wisdom is moral. It's moral. Diana Ross had a song that says, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Well, if I can just touch your hand and make it better, it would be great. But boy, sometimes you go to shake some of these brothers' hands, you reach out and touch them, and you know you want to draw that hand back, amen? Reach out and touch God's hand and allow God to touch your heart that we could be better and live more practical and common sense lives and call others by the way we live to that practical life that God calls them to as well. It's just that simple. In the beginning was the Word. That's simple. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. It's so, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Some people don't want to believe the simple, but that's just so simple. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simple and practical. There's no wisdom in that, but it's practical knowledge in that. Where the wisdom comes is in our faith to continue to believe that, that God is. Biblical wisdom is going to show us how to act righteously and positively to the benefit of others and ourselves. That's what it's going to do. And here's the last thing I wrote down. Godly wisdom brings us answers, gives us answers. Verse 6 says, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Now, I'm saying to myself, riddles? Are we got to try to figure this out? That sentence sounds just a little bit odd, but what Solomon is saying is that we will be able to learn about and deal with the mysteries of life throughout godly wisdom. There's a lot of things in this life that are mysterious to us. He says we're going to be able to deal with those things that are odd. And the greatest aspect of God's wisdom is its ability to help us deal with situations that don't make any sense. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been in situations that don't make any sense? And you fall down on your knees and you talk to God, and all of a sudden it just starts to get clearer. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going away yet, but it becomes more clearer. Amen. Here's Joseph, 17 years old, in a deep, dark hole that his brothers who love him have put him in. And he's a teenager. He'd help him to deal with those difficulties by calling on God. Daniel finds himself in a lion's den. He knows that death is imminent. But knowing God helped him to deal with the difficulties of his life at that time. Paul and Silas in prison. Amen. There's not one of us who haven't been in a situation when we called on God, he made it more clear for us to understand our lives and what he has called us to do. No matter your station in life, no matter where you are, we need the wisdom that comes from God, and the only way we're going to get that, he says, just ask for it. Simple. That's simple. One thing I like about it, it isn't no fairy tale story. We don't get to rub a lamp and get it three times. We get to get it whenever we ask. Amen. God knows our hearts, and he wants to give us the desires of our hearts, and it's just that simple. We want answers to everything, but not everything that happens has a reason. Godly wisdom helps us understand those things, and it makes it sensible. And we're able to deal with those things spiritually in our lives when the difficulties come. They're coming. And for some of us, they're here already. They're here already. One writer summed up the purpose of Proverbs in this way. He said, the purpose of the Proverbs is to help one choose the best course of action among those that are available. The best course of action. Sounds like God provides a way out of temptation for us, doesn't it? But do we always choose that? The wise man will do that. The foolish way is to be avoided, and the wise way is to be followed. But you and I are not going to have a good life now if we approach the Proverbs with the same defensiveness that we had when we were selfish teenagers. When our parents set us on a need to instruct us, and we told them that we know everything already, and you don't know nothing. When we told them that they don't understand what we're going through. When we told our parents that, you know, the times have changed, and you haven't changed with the times, so I know you just don't know. When we sat on our parents' knee, we told them that you just don't understand. In order for us to have a good life right now, we've got to begin our pursuit to live the good life now by learning godly wisdom in our lives. We can have it. You got to ask for it, and God will give it to you. It's simple and practical. It's common sense. It allows the Spirit of God that he gave us to give us calm and peace and understanding in a world that's filled with chaos, that's filled with evil. And invites us to be lights, reflections to the world of Jesus the Christ, God's Son, and his salvation. We can do that. It's real simple. Hear God's word, John 6:45. Believe that Jesus is Christ, John 8:24. Repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. But people reject the simple. They've been rejecting it for years on end. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that it were Jews from every nation under heaven. From every nation under heaven, but only 3,000 souls obeyed that gospel. Here's a question for you. We're going to extend the invitation. If heaven looked like this auditorium tonight, would you be satisfied with that? God calls us to hear his word. Let's respond in kind as we stand and sing. Yeah. Invitation song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of